Welcome back to Hockey Prospect Radio on Sirius XM NHL Network Radio. I'm Shane Malloy. Along with me is Russ Cohn. And we're going to bring in another special guest of ours who's been on our show many times, Craig Button, TSN scout and analyst. Craig, thanks for coming on the show. We always appreciate your insight and look forward to talking to you about some intriguing prospects that are coming up for the draft this year. And I think, you know, we always talk about the draft every year and are always excited, but maybe this draft class gives me a little bit of extra passion towards it because I just really like the potential depth here.
Yeah, there's lots of good depth. And I think, you know, as you go through it and you evaluate it over time, you know, you start to see evidence of that depth. And really, for a draft, it gives teams an opportunity to get players, you know, not only in the first round, but into other rounds as well.
Let's chat about a couple of players that, you know, intrigue you, that you think the listeners out there should, you know, definitely keep an eye on. I mean, all the players have some reason to watch them, but for you specifically, is there a couple of players that sort of stand out in that regard?
Well, I'm going to start right in the British Columbia Hockey League, the BCHL, with two players that I think are excellent prospects. And they play for the Penticton Vs, Dante Fabro, mm-hmm. who is headed to Boston University next season, and Tyson Jost, who's headed to North Dakota next season. And, you know, they were both highly regarded prospects in the WHL draft, and they chose to go the NCAA route. But to me, excellent players. Dante is currently leading all defense in the BCHL. You know, he's just such a steady, consistent, reliable, smart defenseman. And there's no area of the game that I don't see him being capable of contributing. And, you know, that ability to recognize what's unfolding in every single area, I think is a hallmark of a real top, what I would call, you know, pillar defenseman. Excuse me, guys. Tyson Jost, you know, to me, he can beat you multiple ways. He can beat you with a play. He can beat you with a shot. He can beat you, you know, with just a really grinding type of game, wearing you down. He's so smart and so aware of what he can do at any moment in the game. And, you know, he's one of the BCHL's leading scorers. And, you know, I think that you look at Tyson, and don't be fooled. I think he's a really great competitor that just wants to help a team win in some way and in some form. And he finds ways to do that. So, you know, two players. I mean, Penticton is a beautiful place to go. If you want to go watch two young players that I think are destined to be real good players in the National Hockey League, Dante Fabro and Tyson Jost.
You know, the interesting thing is that, you know, you said they're both going to go to college and NCAA route, and I just see that being more of a popular choice in the last 3 or 4 years than it was 10 or so years ago when I first started doing this. And I guess part of it's the physical play, but what's the other part? Why are so many guys choosing the NCAA?
Well, I mean, like conversely, though, Russ, I mean, Matthew Tkachuk, who was headed to the, you know, had committed to Notre Dame, mm-hmm. he decided to go to London. And right. he just felt that, you know, being more immersed in a everyday culture of hockey would better serve him. And, you know, I think you have to really embrace being a student athlete. Mm-hmm. And if you embrace being a student athlete, then the NCAA is a real significant option. And I think for Tyson and Dante, they both, you know, were able to finish their high school. They could have gone this year, but they decided that for their own growth, that it was better to stay back. And, you know, the vast majority of players need more time, not less. And I tell young players all the time, Russ, know yourself, know your own game. And if you think you need a lot more time and you're interested in being a student athlete, then you should really consider the NCAA. Now, I know for some players that at 16, they're far advanced and, you know, they're not prepared to wait 2 years. And, you know, the CHL is a good option as well. But I think for Tyson and Dante, they were both high picks in the Western Hockey League, but they were very consistent right from the outset that they were going to consider the NCAA route. And, you know, I one thing I've learned over the years is that players that know, you know, what path they want to go on, vast majority of times, and when I say vast, I'm going to go one step further, overwhelming majority, they always find a way to have success.
You're listening to Hockey Prospect Radio on Sirius XM NHL Network Radio. I'm Shane Malloy. Along with me is Russ Cohn. We're speaking with Craig Button, TSN scout and analyst, about some 2015 draft-eligible players. And, you know, Craig, we talk about the variety of different routes you can make it to the NHL. I always come down to the point where is if the player's good enough and he works hard enough, that doesn't matter what route he takes, he's going to find a way to get into the NHL. And the scout's job is simply just to not put have expectations on him and just simply go to the rink and evaluate what they do and make a judgment call based on that.
No question. I mean, you know, like the one significant factor in evaluating players is you're projecting them to the NHL. And we have seen over the years players come from all different levels, and players have lots of success at the NHL level coming from all different levels. So, you know, you gotta evaluate the player for the skills he has, how much he can develop, how much you feel you can develop that player, and then go from there. But, you know, there's no guarantee that one level is a more sure way of getting to the NHL or having success in the NHL than another, because the numbers just don't bear that out.
Yeah, no, here's a perfect example is if you look through, you know, the top junior teams or college teams in North America, I think number four or five on the list of getting players into the NHL or drafted by teams into the NHL has been the Waterloo Blackhawks of the United States Hockey League. And it's probably wouldn't be one of the first teams that come to mind when you think about that, but their numbers are really high.
Well, I mean, again, like, I mean, you go there and it becomes a point of development. And, you know, depending on who's coaching it on any team, I mean, that becomes a factor. And you know, really understanding, you know, what are the elements that you need to develop. I think those become really significant. And coaches that can help you do that, I mean, they're going to have a better, I think, track record than ones that don't. And I think all in all, I mean, whether it be the USHL, you talk about the Waterloo Blackhawks or the CHL and the number of teams that have done that. And remember, I'm not talking about numbers. I'm talking about the various levels of the numbers have shown clearly that you can be a superstar coming from different levels. So it's not about one particular level is going to dictate your success better than another.
Absolutely.
I get asked this question all the time, Craig, but what's the age that you think is like the cutoff for parents to realize, okay, maybe my kid's not going to be the NHLer if he's not playing a certain level? Is it 15? Is it 16?
It's a good question, Russ. I don't know. I mean, you consider a player like Brian Savage. Brian Savage had a good NHL career. He ended up going to Miami of Ohio. He was a draft pick by the Montreal Canadiens. But I don't know how many people know this, but I think it was the ages between 14 and 16. He quit hockey. He didn't play. He was a top golfer. And he was a golfer that back in his time, being from up near Sudbury or from Sudbury, I mean, he was one of the top golfers, not only in Ontario, but in Canada. He was golfing against Mike Weir. So that's how good Brian Savage was. But he left hockey for 2 years because he didn't really like it. He wasn't really enjoying it. Then he came back and, you know, he obviously had an NHL career and by all accounts, one that you would say was a solid one. Mm-hmm. So, you know what? I think one of the things we see, and we don't just see it in hockey, we see it in sports across the spectrum, is that we have too many kids dropping out at an early age because either it's not fun or it's too competitive, or the feeling is if you haven't made that top team or you're not performing at this level, depending on the sport, that somehow you're not going to develop. So we're eliminating kids before we even know. So what I would say is that we got to go back to allowing kids to develop, and some kids are going to be more developed or maybe show more promise at the ages of 14. Some kids, it might take them to 18 or 19. Chris Kunitz, I mean, Chris Kunitz was a four-year player at Ferris State, signed as a free agent. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's won an Olympic gold medal. He's won Stanley Cup. He's been a very good player in the National Hockey League. I mean, imagine if we told Chris Kunitz at 17, you know what, like, don't take the NHL seriously. Well, maybe what we should do is change the focus of saying NHL and just say, listen, you know what, just keep playing. Are you having fun? Let's keep working. Let's keep developing.
Absolutely, Craig. It's a great message, not only for the players, but the parents, and probably more specifically for the talent evaluators out there to, you know, not have these biases attached to these kids and understand how to control them personally. But, Craig, I want to thank you very much for coming on our show. We always appreciate your insight and look forward to seeing you at the rink.
Yeah, thank you guys very much. Have a great day.
That's Craig Button, TSN scouted analyst. Russ and I are going to take a quick break. We'll have more prospect talk right after these important messages.